Welcome back to the Real Arsenal Deal podcast. Rav here, as always, your host. How's everyone today? How are you all doing? Thank you so much for tuning in on what is a cold, wintry Melbourne afternoon here. It's a lazy Sunday. Actually, I didn't have much on. I had a busy morning, but I thought the afternoon opened up a little bit. And why not just hop back on? Look, I don't have a great deal to talk about. It's a quietish sort of period for Arsenal. International break, of course. I'll cover a few matches that I'm aware of and that I've seen that obviously involve Arsenal players. But it was interesting because I read and watch the likes of Charles Watts and I read Ask Blog Andrew Mangan, and it's just funny. Like, you always get to these little periods of the season, the international breaks, and there isn't overly that much to talk about. So they always refer to things such as, they'll talk about what they want to talk about. They'll create something, find something to talk about. So that's very much the theme, the flavor of today. So I do have, despite there's not being major talking points, no matches or anything to refer to, we're still a week away from Arsenal returning to Premier League action against Fulham next weekend. But there are still a few talking points. Thank you firstly to everyone who listened to my recording a few days ago, particularly the part around the Visit Rwanda sponsorship. And it was just nice to hear it's nice to hear any feedback, positive or constructive or anything. So I read every single word that I'm lucky enough to receive. And so thank you for those who've spoken up. And at the time of recording, I haven't been made aware of anyone who last time made themselves known as they're departing my channel permanently. So, as of recording, of course. But I think what I should probably do before I get to the internationals, I also want to talk about David Raya's new deal. It's something I missed a couple of days ago. One thing I also remember I forgot to mention, the whole thing about the Visit Rwanda sponsorship that I was talking to, I think I forgot to mention this at the time, but it was very much predicated on the actual financial contribution of it. I mentioned that I'd read that article in The Athletic, and one part that I forgot to mention is that in terms of what was reported from the 2024 accounts, of Arsenal's annual commercial revenue of, I believe it was 210 million that was posted in that financial period, 10 million came from the shirt sleeve sponsorship from Visit Rwanda. Now, of course, everything's all relative, yes. I mean, 10 million pounds is 10 million pounds, and, you know, everything, all the figures that I'm talking to were, of course, adjusted in terms of football relation, because I'm not trying to discount the value or the significance of 10 million pounds. In the grand scheme of things, though, as an overall percentage, as an overall contribution of Arsenal's commercial income, is it really that big of a deal? Is it really that drastic? Surely, I mean, it's less than 10% of our total contribution. Surely the club can look. I'd imagine there'll be a host of sponsors lining up, given that Arsenal's resurgence to the back amongst a genuine contender in England and in Europe. I would imagine that there'd be huge commercial interest in aligning yourselves brand-wise with Arsenal and being displayed as prominently as you are on our shirts. So I would have thought that we'd be able to easily find that elsewhere, find an alternative or an equivalent, and maybe even then some. So look, that was just the one part that I just wanted to add to what I've already said. Don't worry, I'm not going to do the whole thing again. You may have been sick of it, putting up with it the first time, but it was just predicated on, is it that significant a deal that we have to renew and extend, or can we look elsewhere? But like I said at the time, I think it's all but inevitable, given that they've also extended their terms with some of the other franchises under KSC's ownership. So I think it's all but inevitable. And yeah, look, it's just one of those things that I look at it and it just doesn't make sense to me. But then again, what do I know? I'm just a random over here sitting in Melbourne with a microphone. So I totally understand. I know my place, I guess, in the grand scheme of things. So look, onto some international football. I know there's been a host of matches played over the last 48 hours. I'm not across them all, so apologies. I'm sure I'm going to miss some matches. I tend to take a passing interest, or more than a passing interest, on the matches that feature Arsenal. Obviously, I don't have any country allegiance in any of these these qualifiers. So I guess I've got the benefit of being able to pick and choose. Do I want to take an interest or not? But I'll just look, again, these are just on what I've seen. I know there's been a host of matches as well. I'm only just seeing a few highlights. I mean, here in Australia, we have 8 or 9 minute highlight packages on our broadcasting service here, Stan. So I watched a few matches this morning and yesterday with my sons, and I saw that goal from Saka, 3-0, England winning comfortably 3-0 against Wales. I saw Rice captained, played the whole match. Saka didn't. Thankfully, he came off, but you know, as we're accustomed to with Arsenal fans, those two individuals tend to play every minute of every match, right? Rain, hail, or shine. But big moment for Declan Rice to captain England. That's fantastic for him. Sensational stuff for him. The goal from Saka, I mean, that was outstanding. It seems like it's been a while. He's done it many times for Arsenal, of course, but it seems like it's been a while since he scored that type of goal for us. And if he's on this trajectory, he's getting more minutes now. The last 3 or 4 weeks, his load has been gradually building up. Right, he's starting a couple of matches now a week. It's great. It's great for us if he can remain fit, of course. When he gets that match sharpness back and he's got that confidence back, that swagger cuts in on his left and rockets the ball in like that. Good times ahead for Arsenal. I just, of course, if he stays fit, I want everyone to come through these matches unscathed. That's why I only sort of check the Arsenal-related match. When I say Arsenal-related, the matches that feature Arsenal players, I've got to make sure that, you know, they come through okay. And sometimes, you know, I'm a bit OCD about these things. Like I'll see on the lineup, say, you know, certain player was subbed, such as Zubimendi, I'll get to in a moment. And I think, oh, did he come off injured? No. It's tactical. It's game state. So I just want them fit, healthy, available, get back to London during the week, reintegrate with the training later in the week in preparation for the Premier League. That's ideally what I want. And of course, I want them to do well and do well for their countries. That's important too. From selfish purposes, whatever the results are, just hope they all get through and can get back in good health and good condition, because we're certainly going to need them. There's a pretty hectic schedule on the horizon, especially after the November break. There's one week in particular where we have Bayern Munich at home in the Champions League, wedged between massive fixtures. I think we're at home to Tottenham and then away to Chelsea the following weekend, unless I've got the reverse order. Now, I'm pretty sure the North London derby this time is at home, is at the Emirates this time. So that's those little blocks. When you look at the fixture list and you kind of break them down into smaller, you know, 7-10 days sort of periods of time, that's when you need as many players on deck, because we obviously want to win both those Premier League matches. And I think we owe Bayern Munich as well, just quietly. We probably owe them a few. So you've got to get to these positions with a fit squad, available players in good condition as well. Not burnt out, not run to the ground. You want them in good shape going into those challenging moments. So elsewhere, I'll just power through a few of these from what I've seen. Norway thumped Israel 5-0. Like, what a result for them. Haaland with a hat-trick. I mean, what an absolute machine he is. And from what I understand, that Odegaard actually travelled to Norway. I'm not sure if that's been actually confirmed elsewhere. I forgot where exactly I heard that. But, you know, as much as you question that, and you say, well, what's he doing? He should be recuperating, doing his recovery work. I mean, the country's, you know, national football means so much to certain players, especially Odegaard. You know, these are critical fixtures for them. They're in a really good position with over two generational players, Haaland and Odegaard. I mean, there's probably higher hopes for their nation. They want to qualify. They want to represent at World Cup level. So him being a senior member of the team, I could imagine why he'd want to travel and be a part of their camp. And, you know, if that puts him in a better condition health-wise, mental health-wise, and puts him in a more upbeat phase of mind, that's great. It's great for everyone. And the fact that he's able to travel as well, I think, you know, if it was a really, really significant knee injury that requires, you know, braces, surgery, you know, crutches, then you can really question, are they fit enough, ready to travel? Look, even accounting for the fact that we're talking private planes and whatnot, but I don't think he would undertake that little journey unless he was in a good enough condition to do so. So I see that as a positive. That's what I'm getting to. Calafiori had 4 shots on goal, I read, in Italy's 3-1 win against Estonia. A big moment for Carl Heine. I'm pretty sure, yeah, it was him. Of course it was. Saved a penalty with that. Made a couple of good saves, actually. Italy probably should have won by more. Speaking of goalkeepers, I couldn't help but chuckle, not in a nasty way, but I couldn't help but laugh, if you've seen the highlights like I have, at Estonia's goal. Donnarumma, a routine cross that he would gobble up, you know, 1,000 times out of 1,000. He's done that hundreds of times a week in training and whatnot. And he spills the ball, and that leads to that goalkeeping error led to their only goal. The only reason I chuckled is the moment I saw that, I was thinking, are you kidding me? Donnarumma, out of all the times for him to make an error, we could have done with that a few months ago. When he was making ridiculous saves for PSG, especially in Paris, right, when we had them on toast in that opening 20, 25 minutes, it was on like Donkey Kong, as good as Arsenal have played all season, and we just couldn't get past him. We could have done with a moment like that, just a little tiny error. And I couldn't help but shake your head. This is the madness of football. One of the great modern-day goalkeepers. We're all human, yeah? Anyone at any time can make just that sort of error, and it looks pretty bad because it was. However, from an Arsenal point of view, I just couldn't help but just, you know, maybe I'm just getting old and cynical now. It was like an old man shake of the head chuckle. That's like a fair bit of sarcasm in that as well. But anyway, it is what it is. We move. So elsewhere, Marino played the 90 minutes. Spain winning 2-0 against Georgia. Zubimendi came off at 81 minutes. Marino probably should have scored a couple. There was one in particular. If you've seen it, you probably know what I'm referring to. He did well to fake the shot, get on his left foot, open goal, and he lifted it over, and you saw his reaction. He was thumping the floor in anger and frustration afterwards. He knows he should have buried that. So Sweden lost at home to Switzerland 2-0. Jokeres played the full match. Interestingly, he played in a front two with Isak. Isak also played the 90 minutes as well. So that's interesting. Again, with an Arsenal hat on, you know, we're all wondering what will happen if/when Kai Havertz returns. And I think there's always that possibility that they could play together. It doesn't have to be one or the other. I imagine there will be a fair amount of sharing that position between starting and finishing as the season progresses. But there is the option that the two can play together. I mean, Havertz has done it before. He's not really an out and out number nine. I mean, we all know that anyway. He can play as a 10 or a second striker or even behind a lead man in front of him. Havertz is that versatile. He can play as left back even. He's done that and scored for Germany, right? So Havertz is a very unique footballer who we need sooner rather than later. I maintain that Arsenal are better with him in the 11, despite this question mark still hanging out around him. I mean, the stats speak for themselves. Look at our points per game on average when he plays, when he doesn't. I mean, it's almost case closed. He's integral to Arsenal. He's integral to Mikel Arteta's plans. And as soon as he's back, he's going to play. He would have played at Anfield. He would have started that match at home to City. And it goes to help the entire team. It would have helped the operators as well. He's acclimatization to the Premier League, right? He's played every minute, basically, so far. He's building his fitness from a late pre-season, having joined Arsenal, you know, relatively late in the window. So this is not ideal at all. But the sooner Havertz gets back, I think the better for all of us. And there's a possibility that the two of them can play together. So from what I understand, Sweden are in a little bit of early trouble in terms of the qualifying group. That's their second loss. I don't think it's going great for Belgium either. They drew home. I don't think Trossard played the 90, but he played a fair chunk of that match. Have I missed any other matches that I've seen? Oh, yeah, just back on the Sweden result. Xhaka with an excellent penalty. What a footballer he is. He's just gone from strength to strength, Granit Xhaka. And it's just great to see him do so well. I've got such a strong affinity with him, and it'll be great to see when Sunderland visit the Emirates. I'm not sure when they're due to play Arsenal, but it's going to be a great moment for him. It'll be hopefully a great reception awaiting him as well. There's a lot of respect amongst the playing group, amongst Arteta, and I think the fans as well. It'll be a great, great moment for him. So I'm looking forward to that. Have I missed any other matches that I've been across? I don't think I have. I think I haven't seen anything, but I read Gabriel played the 90 minutes. They're all the way in Korea, Brazil playing Korea there. And I think they have another match as well in Asia. So that's a fair journey back when they do finish up there. So Martinelli didn't feature in that one, but I imagine he will he will get some minutes in their second match. So, yep, so that's those are the wrap-up in terms of the internationals that I'm across. Sorry if I've omitted some or if your country wasn't mentioned. It's nothing. I'm just not across them. I'm sorry. But I will take a closer look at later tonight when the kids are asleep. So elsewhere on my running list, this is a running list of things to talk about, but there's not really much to talk about. David Raya was reported, he reportedly received, I don't think it's been officially confirmed from the club, but received a wage increase on his current contract. Similar to the Trossard situation, it's not an extension of their actual term, the length of their contract. It's more so a reward for high performance during their tenure. And I think this is great. I mean, he absolutely deserves it. If you've listened to me before, hopefully you've heard me sing Raya's praises. I think he's one of the best goalkeepers going around at the moment. What he doesn't have, and you know what everyone else at Arsenal don't have just yet, is that major trophy to crown off this little period, this chapter. Because with that comes that image enhancement too, right? Your standing, your reputation drastically increases when you've actually won something. You've got something to show for it all. So at the moment, Raya doesn't. That's what's probably holding him back from being in that, that conversation when you talk about the real elite world-class goalkeepers. And there's only a small handful in that group. Look, in no particular order, I'd say. There's Alisson, Courtois, Donnarumma, who I've mentioned before, amongst others. So I would, if I was to pause right now and say, where would Raya sit amongst them? To me, look, would I swap Raya for any of them? Maybe not. But in terms of who's stylistically best suited for this current Arsenal, for the system, for his teammates, for the defence in front of him, for Arteta, it's David Raya. He's right up there. If you would say, where does he rank amongst the players, the goalkeepers I've just named? He might be in that slight tier directly behind, maybe half a step behind that group that I just mentioned. But once we do win something, and I'm confident it will be this year, I think we're going to achieve something big. I can only help but dream big, of course. But I think Raya, he will then be enhanced into that elite category. He will get that sort of recognition. Outside of Arsenal, that's probably the question mark around him. But inside, I don't think there's any doubt internally of how highly he's rated within the club. And for him to receive that recognition, I think it's great for him. It's great for Trossard as well, because they both have made a huge contribution to Arsenal over the last couple of seasons since they've joined. And I'm just so glad we've now got this, we finally got that goalkeeper position sorted, right? Even with Kepa as our number two, he's on a three-year contract. I think that's great for Arsenal. There's been just too much turnover, too much change. You need stability at times as well. I know there's always movement, there's player trading, some things don't work out as you originally anticipated, right? You can say that for the likes of Ramsdale and whatnot, but this is, in general, there's been too much turnover in the goalkeeping department. Yeah, dating back a few years when we had Lino when Arteta first took over, then Martinez left, and we've had some loans with Matt Ryan, you know, for 6 months. Matt Turner, stylistically as well, even though he was a permanent sign, it was an odd choice as well, because he's not that type of ball playing keeper. He's more of a classic shot stopper that Lino was, for example. And there's just been too much chopping and changing, especially the narrative. It needed to quieten down. Remember that whole sub the goalkeeper thing? that period, it actually did happen, and it became a circus around Arsenal. It became a distraction. You know, every time there was a goalkeeper moment or error, the camera would pan over to whichever other goalkeeper was sitting on the bench, just looking for a story, looking for their reaction, and that's going to be a feat. That's going to be clipped up everywhere on social media, a freeze frame moment. You know, and you just know what's going to happen. And I'm just glad we can just remove the noise, reduce the noise. Raya is elite. I'm so confident in with him in between our sticks. And even last season, you can question so many things in terms of last season's transfer window. And that's probably worthy of a whole separate podcast, really. Especially with Edu's position coming to an end just a few months later, you can really question some of the decision making. But that whole chase for Garcia at the time, that financial outlay, then to end up with Neto, basically a last minute loan deal, and then how that scuppered our ability between him and Sterling on loan deals to do anything in January on a short term loan basis, right? It's just, yeah, there's just, it shouldn't have happened. It did. And then, we paid for it. It cost us big time last season, right? There's no shying away from that. But it's great now just to have that stability. David Raya is elite. He deserves the reward. And it's just great to see Arsenal recognise players who are contributing internally as well, because we made that conscious decision a few years ago to really clean out the squad, clean out the wages, get down to a more adequate level. And in time, what naturally happens is as you get better and better, and you acquire more and more top talent and you remunerate them accordingly, of course, that wage bill only goes in one direction. But we've got the capacity. We've got the capacity built in because we stripped down the wages so much. Even if you look at this season, yes, it would have been great to sell Nelson. It would have been great to sell Zinchenko. Yes, we do need to get better at selling and get some sizable transactions, some outgoing sales to offset the incoming spend. But their wages are huge too. Zinchenko, he'd be on a pretty hefty wage coming from Manchester City, multiple Premier League winner. Rhys Nelson, I think it was reported, was on £100,000 a week. It's pretty significant for players who are not really in that first team scope, who are not really contributing to the senior team. So just even by loaning them out, ideally, of course, you want to recuperate a permanent deal. But getting their wages off the books, it allows things like what I've just mentioned. It allows you to reward the players who are, very much in your first team setup, the likes of Trossard, the likes of Raya. And naturally speaking, we will just hopefully keep doing that. I read Timber as well will be next in line in terms of who's earmarked for some improved terms on the current deal. Timber is magnificent, like an unbelievably good footballer. He's a machine. Absolute machine, and he deserves that too. So you look across the squad. If we're doing this every 18, 24 months, making sure that their wages are at, I'm not saying market value, because we can't pay, or we're not going to pay the likes of what some of the exorbitant fees that other clubs pay. However, the players buy in. They buy into the manager. They buy into this trajectory. You see that it oozes out of them all. So if you can get to very decent terms with them, along with the possibility of them winning major trophies at Arsenal, I mean, that as has been proven time and again, that's sufficient for them. They're going to sign on the dotted line. Saliba's just done it as well. Saliba could walk into any team in the world, any. He's probably the only, in terms of, if you name one player in Arsenal's current team who would guarantee walk into any club in the world. Yes, there are a number of players you can put an argument for, the likes of Saka or the likes of Declan Rice, for example, Gabriel. However, I think if you had to pick one, I think it's Saliba. He's that good. He's generational, and he's only 24. So he could command whatever salary terms he would request. So for Arsenal to renew him, it is so, so, so significant. You've probably heard me mention that many, many times. It's a real statement. It's a landmark transaction for Arsenal to renew him. And the players are here because they want to be. They want to win. They want to stay and see this through. I mean, Saliba effectively said as much. He can't leave this club. He wasn't saying that, once he wins trophies, he's going to bounce. He was basically saying the right things, that you can't win. Sorry, he can't leave this club until he's won. He needs to win, and he wants to win. He's got that appetite, that hunger. And that was music to my ears. That's saying all the right things, and it just speaks to the mentality within the group. So every now and then, you go through the squad, you look at, okay, when was their deal signed? It was, okay, 18 months, 2-3 years ago. Should we, how have they performed since? And we should look to increase their wages, increase their terms. And that's great. Even the likes of Wanneri and Lewis Skelly, these are major emerging talents that you've seen. You've seen some of the wages other clubs pay for youth players. I mean, United have done it. They poached a few Arsenal youth players in the last sort of 12, 18 months. Chelsea have been doing this for a couple of decades now. So you've got to pay them. Yes, you can promise them all, you can say all the right things about that, you know, these are homegrown boys, these are Arsenal hailing boys, and they love the club, what it means to them, their families. That's all true. It only gets you so far, though, if you can provide that pathway into the first team for them, but also that you're adequately rewarding them for staying. So I think it's great. I think it's just great for Arsenal. More of this, please. It's just great to see Arsenal operate at this level, like just as a really top professional club should, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we behave, this sort of stuff. This hasn't always been there, right? There's been too many moments over the last sort of decade or so. We just, from the outside looking in, you think like, you know, what's the logic? What's the rationale? What are Arsenal doing? But over the last few years, I've just got such a sense of professionalism from the way the club are conducting themselves in these types of dealings. So more of this, please. That's great to see. So look, I think I've, for a podcast, not really much about podcast in terms of topics, I've done pretty well here. I've padded this out to 26 minutes. So I might bring this one to a close just there. That was the major talking points on my list. I'll be back on in a couple of days when we've had the rest of the internationals rounded up and hopefully can talk in the same glowing measures about no injuries and coming through unscathed. But I don't want to jinx anything. So far, so good on that front. Players getting minutes as well, which is valuable. Even speaking of one area, I saw him playing in the under-21s. I think Mosquera is too. So it's great. They need that match sharpness, match fitness, right, because we're going to need them. There's more than enough football for all these players to come in. You don't want them coming in cold, frozen out, or coming in, you know, just with no match fitness under their belt. So this is great for all involved. Great experiences for them as well, playing for their countries, representing their countries. So I will bring that one to a close. Thank you, as always, for listening. If you could please consider liking and subscribing if you're watching on YouTube, or if you're listening on a podcast platform, please consider following the show, giving me a review, and send me any feedback or comments or questions if you want me to cover in my next recording in a few days' time. I appreciate you all being here on a lazy Sunday afternoon, and I hope that gives you something to listen to as well, wherever you are in the world. I'm enjoying a nice Sunday yourself. So thank you, as always. I'll talk to you soon. Look after yourselves, check in with your loved ones, and come on, Arsenal.